Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker Betting Show podcast. I'm your host, George Ellick, and today we are previewing the Tingle Creek, the weekend's racing at Sandown, and I'm joined by two expert guests. Firstly, Odds Checker's very own horse racing tipster, Andy Holding. Andy, great to have you here. How are you getting on? How are you enjoying the last couple of weeks of jumps racing?
Yeah, it's been great stuff, hasn't it? Financially, not so good, but actually visually, very good. Yeah, there's been some great stuff. I thought the Ladbrokes Trophy, the old Hennessy's, we know it was a superb race. Andrew tipped up the winner, so a very good introduction to podcast life here at Odds Checker for Andrew. He thinks his game's easy now.
You've stolen my line there, because I was going to introduce Andrew Thornton, former jockey and now racing broadcaster. Andrew, you did tip up Cloth Cap for the Ladbroke, and so I think people are tuning in now expectant for some more big price winners.
Oh God, it was competitive, but I thought Tom Skew gave him a great ride.
Yeah,
I'd love to have ridden him, but 10 stone would have been a bit beyond my beyond my needs. But he was positive, and that's what you like to see from any jockey. And the fourth last, he came up from.
Yeah, oh,
Secret Investor, Sean Boyne saw the same stride, but sadly Secret not. And Cloth Cap, he was exhilarating on the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. I said to Andrew off air before we started that I actually backed Cloth Cap at Cheltenham towards the back end of October. And given the way that he won on the weekend, I have a feeling that was a losing bet before it even jumped, because I think that may have been a tactical run, that one, Cheltenham, let's say. Before we kind of go into the betting side of things, Andrew, it's great to have you on, because you know, Andy and I may love our racing, but we don't have the experience that you do at racing at these tracks. And we're going to talk mainly about Sandown, but we're also going to touch on the many clouds as well at Aintree on Saturday afternoon. So what can you kind of tell us about the quirks, the irregularities, the tactics that are riding at both of those venues?
Well, Sandown is, seven fences down the back. You don't get anywhere else. It's you know, if you meet the first one right, you tend to meet them all right. And some horses enjoy it, some don't. For instance, Cool Dawn, that I rode many, many moons ago, hated Sandown. Brilliant jumper, loved Ascot, but I think I pulled up twice around Sandown. Absolutely loathed the place. And you think to yourself, well, can't be that much of a difference. Big fences, right-handed. But some horses, they either like it or they don't like it. There's no in-between. And then with Aintree, again, the big old fences, it's a sharper track. And some horses can just get knocked out of a rhythm round there. And, you know, as I say, you think to yourself, well, why can't you like these certain tracks? But, you know, like humans, we're all different.
Andrew, on that point, is there a certain degree of muscle memory with regards those seven fences at Sandown? For instance, obviously, it depends on the stride pattern of a certain horse, you know, horse and another, and his length of stride is bigger. But would you, because you've ridden over those fences, you know, hundreds of times, would you almost, like as you've just said, ping the first one and then you almost like count in your head or know how many strides it'll take to jump the next, or is it just, do you just deal with it all on its merits?
Andy, we don't think about it that much, Craig. give us a break. I'm always just keep rolling forward. You ping the, if you're on a horse that likes to roll, especially from the front.
Yeah.
Old Lancastrian Jet used to love that 3 mile five chase around there, and he was a horse who jumped left, and you think, oh well, Sandown was against him, but it just seemed to suit him. You get rolling forward many times, especially in those staying chases. Jumping is at a premium, and the energy that you save if you've got a horse that rolls forward and you can ping away, it's utilised on the stiff finish. So what you don't see out in the country, the jockeys are saving energy with the good jumping, because if you're missing the odd fence, you're having to make it up in between, you're having to use energy, but you don't find out how much energy has been used probably until you get from the back of the last.
Yeah. Okay,
right, now time then to get into the weekend's preview. And before we do get started at Sandown tomorrow on Friday, we're recording this at 11 o'clock on Thursday, so about 24 hours before the racing gets underway. Just going to point the viewers and listeners into the direction of the Odds Checker app. Make sure you download it, your perfect companion to this podcast or video, for the very best prices, the best bookie offers, the best place terms, and of course the very best tipsters in the game, including Andy Holding himself. It's the first place to find Andy's tips direct to your phone every single morning. So do download the Odds Checker app now. Right. So on the Friday, what we're going to do is look at a couple of the races in detail, and then I will hand over to you guys to see if there's any other horses you just want to throw up, because we've only got about 40, 45 minutes or so. So we can't go through all the races, sadly. And we're going to start with the Ballymore Winter Novices Hurdle, run over 2.5 miles. It's a 2:25 on Friday. And Stargate is the 7-4 favourite for Evan Williams, ahead of Paul Nichols's 2-1 Sending Love. Any News 6-1. Valera's 30. Best Your Luck 12-1. And you know, new listeners to the podcast might wonder why we often look at these novice hurdles in such scrutiny, we should say. But Andy is a man who keeps time figures for all these horses, and his insight into these novice hurdlers is pretty expert, and his record as such, especially at Cheltenham Festival, is very, very good. So it's always interesting to get your thoughts, Andy, on these young horses. What can you tell us about this crop here?
Well, it takes a while for the sort of pecking order to work itself out, doesn't it, in the novice hurdle category? And come Cheltenham, I've got a fair idea who's the best and who's run the fastest time figure and has run what I would call a championship time figure. None of these at the moment have run to that level as of yet. I think it's an intriguing race. We're missing 3 under 3 5. I thought he might have come here, but the fact that he's not here and Paul Nichols decides to run Sending Love here instead probably suggests to me anyway that he thinks this horse is likely to handle this softer ground better than his other inmate, who of course won round Ludlow on decent ground last time out. Nice horse, Sending Love. He's had a wind operation like a lot of Paul's has. He comes from previous connections who did a fair job with him. And he did the job well enough at Fosslass. He started very eye-catchingly late on. Again, just looking at pure numbers, and that's what I go on. His time figure wasn't anything to write home about. He ran on the same card as a horse called Shake 'Em Up Harry. And Shake 'Em Up Harry would have beaten Sending Love roughly around about 20 lengths if you sort of set them off as they go past the line and then do the whole circuit. So he's got to improve on what he did at Fosslass. Obviously, he's likely to. He's up in trip, and I think he'll be suited by 2.5 miles. But as it stands, of the front two in the market, anyway, we'll deal with Stargate in a second, I would say he'd have a little bit to find on Evan Williams' charge.
Okay, yeah, Andrew, what are you thinking looking at these? I mean, it's a pretty open affair, a 5-runner race, but kind of 4 of them 13-2 or shorter.
Yeah, you're trying to evaluate form, what they've beaten. And Stargate, Evan's horses have been running well, but he hasn't had a winner for in the last 14 days from 42 runners. That would worry me slightly. I don't think these horses have been running badly. They've been knocking on the door. I think Adam Wedge must have the voodoo doll at home, because he's waiting for him to come back. I did like Stargate. I thought it was very professional. One point a point win over 3 miles. And the way he quickened up was eye-catching. Sending Love, I take Andy's point about the slow time, but I remember the other race that you were talking about with Ben Paulin's horse, which rolled away from the front on that occasion. He went a real good gallop away. It was a completely different race, as in the tempo of the race. But Sending Love, 7-year-old, big, strong individual, rising 8, has obviously had a few issues when trained by Willie Mullins during this horse's time. Had a long time off. Only had a couple of starts in the previous season. I'd be with Stargate here. Although Evan hasn't had a winner in the last 14 days, as I say, he's lots and lots of placed horses. But I think this is a classy individual. Not overly big, neat, tidy horse. He's been patient. He's obviously had this race in mind from the last race. And of the others, Valeres of Alan King's, what finished behind the horse that's 3 under 5 last time out at Ludlow and was well beaten on that occasion. As you say, it is a shame that horse isn't lining up. And I'd also suggest that Press Your Luck, who has got plenty of experience, maybe not a flashy horse, but you'd have to think that if this horse was trained by Paul Nichols, would be a shorter price. Chris Gordon, maybe not a sexy trainer as far as prices are concerned, but a very, very good one. Shouldn't be as big a price as this horse is. I think this horse could chase Stargate home. That would be my take on the race.
So press your luck there. Gordon is 12-1 at the moment. That's a Bet365 best price. I mean, we speak about what have these horses beat, and any news, an interesting runner as well for Neil Mulholland. And you mentioned with Chris Gordon, if it was trained by Paul Nicholls, what price would he be? I mean, any news beats in a bumper back in October, beat horse Glory and Honour for Tom Lacey, who was well back that day and went on to lose to a horse called Isolate, who's gone on to win since, and Glory and Honour has gone on to win since. And then follow that up with a 10-length victory as well at Bangor. Andy, I mean, how does that form stack up with the top two?
Yeah, he's a lovely horse. That Neil Mulholland horse, any news? He clocked a good time in a bumper when he won at Exeter, as you say, and then he didn't have to do a great deal at Bangor because I don't know if you remember that the second favourite there, or the favourite easy as that, jumped absolutely horribly. I mean, it literally looked as though he'd gone round there blindfolded.
Andy, it didn't jump that well.
No, it didn't. No, you're right. Yeah, they're still trying to pick up the joinery work, aren't they, with the way that horse made so many mistakes at the Welsh Track.
From that point of view, Andy, that's the great advert of those padded hurdles at Bangor for the horse that didn't jump particularly well. It still cost the horse ground and energy, but been padded, you know, injury-wise, it's got to be a good thing.
It certainly has, yeah. But I do like any news. Definitely, nice model when you look at him. He definitely has the look of a chaser. But I agree with Andrew here. Whether I'd back Stargate at 6-4, 13 or whatever it is now, I don't even know what price he is now. He was 7-2 top price, I noticed, when the books opened up earlier in the week.
7-4 best price now.
With the Evan Yard not quite firing on all cylinders, that is a little bit of concern. I definitely think he's the best horse of this lot going forward. And the other thing to point out as well, 4-year-olds haven't got a particularly good record in the race. I haven't looked at all the sample sizes, but the last 4-year-old winner in this race was Crystal Spirit back in 1991. So it's quite difficult for a 4-year-old against the older horses, you know, Sandown, Stiff Track, hard going. It's hard work for a 4-year-old. But if any horse can do, I think Stargate will, because he's one of those horses that makes soft ground, going through soft ground, look very easily, like he did at Chepstow. The time figure of his race at Chepstow is extremely good. Lengths quicker than Grand Mogul, the other horse who won the second division or the first division of those two novice hurdle divisions, and the form has worked out well. I've tipped a couple of horses on Oddschuck out that race. Tide Times, who won the Ascot Handicap the other week for Ian Williams, Sam Barton, who was rather unluckily nailed by a big price to Horse of the Day Hereford. He was beaten 20 odd lengths back in fifth. The Alan King horse in fourth ran well beyond Danny Kerwin. That is, a form-wise, he's definitely got the best form, the best time figure, Stargate. But being a 4-year-old, the Evan Williams horse is at 7-4. It's getting the balance right, and I'd probably just walk away from him at that price, even though I hope he wins anyway, because I think he's the best horse in the race.
Great spare ride for Nico de Bonville to pick up. Brian Hughes might have... Well, he's been riding a lot for Evan recently and travelling around. I'd imagine he may well have been offered this ride, but... Sedgefield on? Where would you rather be?
Indeed.
Six or seven of Sedgefield on, one down and Sandown. And that just shows you what he's thinking about as well regarding the Jockeys Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Also worth pointing out as well, there will be fans at Sandown this weekend, which is fantastic to see. Hopefully, you know, the sights of empty race courses around the country will be a thing of the past in a few months' time, fingers crossed. On now, we're going to talk about the Potemps qualifier, the 3 o'clock, just shy of 3 miles. Kilconny Bridge is the 130 favourite. Storm Arising, 11-2. Espion, 8-1, alongside Illegal Model. Potter's Hedger, Farrant's Way, both 10-1, 12-1 bar. Andrew, I'll come to you first. I know Andy very politely gave you the first run with the last race last time, so I need to remember that you can... You know, take it up to Andy on a few occasions, and we'll give you this Potemps qualifier now.
Kind of you. obviously, hey, the favourite's absolutely rock solid. Been in great form. Only been beaten once. So what's not to like about Kilconny Bridge? Beat Kalahari Queen well last time out in a handicap hurdle. That was at Chepstow. Kalahari Queen, you evaluate the form. I think the horse... You know, Kalahari Queen's been mixing, chasing and hurdling, and it just hasn't quite been working out. very solid, solid mare. It's going to be a little bit trickier this time around against open company. Creeping up the weights, obviously. Ben Godfrey, good rider. He's obviously taken off a few pounds here. But from I thought a Espeon of Philip Hobbs's was very interesting.
Mm.
The yard's just starting to click into gear. And I thought a very good run from Espeon round here last time out. Never really got into the race on that occasion. Runs off the same mark as well. That was behind Gotro Joe of Virgil O'Brien's. And Espeon had 11.9. The likes of Gotro Joe only had 10.6. Made all the running, bounced out. First Lord the Kuwait ran a decent race. And Espeon was only a couple of lengths behind. It was 14 lengths back to the fourth on that occasion. And from an each-way point of view, thought that this horse was probably overpriced. Handles the track, handles the ground. And still relatively lightly raced. Only 5 hurdle starts so far. So, as I say, handles Sandown, has been here a couple of occasions, finished third on both occasions and on soft ground. And one of the thirds was last season behind Fiddler on the Roof. So I think a horse off a mark of 128 could have room for manoeuvre.
Interesting. Espeon there, 8-1 best price with Bet365, as short as 6-1 with a few other bookies. So you might have to be quick to snaffle that best price. Andy, are you seeing the race in a similar way to Andrew?
Yeah, I certainly respect Kilcarney Bridge. She's very much going the right way. She's now 133, having won off 126 last time out. And will handle the conditions like a lot of Anthony Honeyballs do. But this is a stiffer test than what she's been encountering of late. So whether I'd want to back her at 11-4 is having to question. I certainly agree with Andrew with regards to Espeon. That run at Sandown last time out was a particularly eye-catching one. Looked as though he wanted a little bit further the way he was staying on. And don't forget he finished third to Fiddler on the Roof here last year in a good maiden hurdle, and he got beat 9 lengths on over 2 miles. So he's had a couple of decent spins around the track. The yard now beginning to start to tick over quite nicely. I also agree. I think 8-1 for that is overpriced. And talking about overpriced horses, I've got a decent line on what I think is one that's slightly been overlooked here, or likely to be overlooked, based on a couple of races at Lingfield 24 days ago. There was a very good handicap that day won by Storm Arising, who probably should have won with a little bit more up its sleeve than it did. But I thought Bryony Frost took it round the inside on the swamp, and it was only when she finally hooked it off the inside rail and it got a little bit of better ground to run on that Storm Arising managed to beat Potter's Hedger. But on the very same card, there was a very, very hot maiden hurdle won by a horse called Take Your Time, also at Paul Nicholls Inmate. Now, that race was by far and away the best speed figure I got on that card, and the circuit sectionals as well were much, much better over the same course and distance than the handicap won by Storm Arising. So the fact that Straight Swap here comes out second out of that race, gets to run off a mark of 116 compared to Storm Arising's 134, I think this one's going to be a little bit under the radar. It's only got 10.3. Looks an absolute out-and-out stayer. And Chris Gordon wouldn't be the backwards coming forwards when he thinks he's got a particularly well handicapped one in pitching it into a handicap, whereas he could have run it in a novice event. Just purely on those numbers I got at Lingfield, if Storm Arises 6-1, there's no 8-1. So that is definitely going to be a horse I'm looking at putting up tomorrow morning. So a bit of a heads up for odds checker follows in advance. Maybe you want to take a price about Straight Swap in that 3 o'clock.
Lovely. An early tip there, an early certified Andy tip, 16-1 Straight Swap. You can get that with Skybet, 4 places, 5th the odds, or with plenty, 3rd quarter. 888 Sport, Betfred's, Betway, Boyle's, 10bet, Sport Nation, Genting Bet, and Red Zone, all 16-1 Straight Swap. And Andy, I mean, I thought for a second before you gave us Straight Swap, Andy, you were just going to copy exactly what Andrew said on Espeon and be done with us. But
I think between us, I think we've now had a couple of nice each bets. But there's a really good school of thought here to think that if you back Andrew's and mine each way, one of us surely will be in the first four. So at 8-1 and 16-1, say Andrew's finishes place, you're only doing a very minute amount of money if you're outlaying sort of 2 points, say a point each way on each of them. you get one of them in the frame. You're getting majority of you're covering most of your money across the board there. Of course, if straight swap gets placed, you virtually cover the whole lot. And of course, the beauty is if the jack comes up and one of them wins, then you know, we take the sweet time, don't we? So yeah, I think that's a good strategy there, to look away from the fav, go against Storm Horizon because of those figures I highlighted, do the form horse or the course horse Espeon with Andrew's pick, and my little sneaky one down the bottom.
I reckon when most people have a flutter, they use the same old bookies every time. But how do you know if you're getting good odds? Odds Checker, that's how. At Odds Checker, you can compare the odds from major bookmakers, get tips from the experts, and place your bets all in one place. Whether it's your Saturday acca or a first goal scorer hunch, choose our best odds and get brilliant returns. Odds Checker, your one-stop betting hub. Download the app now. Play responsibly.
I don't normally do this, Andy, because I like to leave the expert tips to yourself and to Andrew. But I'm just going to ask you about a horse that's been on my radar for a long time, who we don't see very often. Top weight, Port Rush Ted, who won a very, won a bumper at Aintree back in April 2018 at the Grand National Meeting, which worked out very well indeed, as it always does. Then was 17 length winner at Perth next time out, and then won at Ayr in January, and then looked like he was going to win again before falling at the last at Haydock. And obviously comes in at top weight here of 1-3-8, but a very progressive horse as well. Do you have any I guess I'm thinking maybe this is a horse kind of in a handicap, albeit off top weight, who could go on and progress to much bigger things?
Goes really well fresh, Port Rush Ted. Usually the first time out is the best time to catch him. But when they're trying to qualify him for a Perth Temps final, might not necessarily be their number one target. So it might be...
This is cloth cap all over again, isn't it?
It is cloth cap all over again. But talking about stables out of form, goodness me, I mean, Warren, bless him, I know Warren really well, and I wouldn't really want to be ringing him up at the moment and asking for his time, because he'd probably be chasing the cat around the stable, because he literally hasn't had a winner for, I think, 2 months, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
And it's just been a really lean time for Warren, for one reason or another. I don't know if they've got a bug on the yard. I don't know the inner workings of the stable at the moment. But, I mean, Andrew might be able to pick up on that. But they just seem to be struggling for form, don't they, Andrew?
Yeah, but it's like anything. Horses, the yards horses can't be in form all year round.
No. Yeah.
And you've got yards in form at the moment. You've just got to bide your time. They'll come out the other side. And you'll have some horses that their yard will be hitting form, whether it's the other side of Christmas or round about Christmas, when one or two other yards are going a bit quiet. As I say, it's probably noticeable because of having such a good couple of seasons. But Philip Hobbs went through it last year, or the year before, should we say. He went through it. And you can't put your finger on it. You've just got to roll with it. And as the old saying goes, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Well, especially when your yard's been in poor form, you normally come out of it with some pretty well handicapped horses as well. So that's the good news.
And that's the classic case with Gavin Sheehan as well. You say, oh, well, he's had a quiet time since he came back from injury. But if your yard's horses aren't in form, well, you can't be in form either.
Mm.
So it just goes hand in glove.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we move on to Saturday's racing at Sandown, are there any others on the card? You know, we've got a couple of handicap hurdles, a couple of handicap chases in there as well. Anything you both want to flag up?
I've got one in the last, which is the mare's handicap. I thought that with it being quite a compressed handicap, 10, 11 bottom weight, top weight 11, 12, I thought the top weight was interesting. White Hot Chili Filly step on slow ground. I thought Weatherby last time out in a listed race behind Mrs. Hyde was a strong run. Mrs. Hyde had been in great form for Brian Ellison. Staying on without getting dangerous, got tap for toe turning in from an each way angle, is an each way price, and I'm sure will have benefited from that first run back. Quite a stuffy mare, and the 2.5 mile trip, although got top weight, it is a compressed handicap.
White Hot Chili Filly 6-1 Sky Bet, William Hill, Unibet, and plenty of others as well. Andrew, anything for you?
I'd probably want to stay on the right side of Morning Vicar, or that form at Newbury, the race he won 29 days ago. He came out of a good race the time before. I tipped Morning Vicar that day based on that run behind De Machine, who I put up at Ascot a couple of weeks ago. Probably my last winner, actually. And I do think that those two races in isolation are pretty good for their grade. And I love the way that Morning Vicar attacked his fences at Newbury. He's very much tailor-made for Sandown. He's jumping spectacular. He jumped actually to the right in the latter stage that day, so I think taking him right-handed is not a bad policy. And the horse that chased him around before midnight, he also ran well in that particular race at Newbury without laying a glove on the winner, and he's got some good form going right-handed prior to that. And, of course, he comes from a yard, Sam Thomas, in spectacular form at the moment. So 5-1 Morning Vicar, 10-1 before midnight. Couple of nice ones there in the 150.
Yeah, Morning Vicar 5-1. And as you say, before midnight, best price currently 9-1 as it stands. So that 10s has gone, but 9-1 is still an attractive looking price there. On now to Tingle Creek Day, to Saturday at Sandown. And the first couple of races, well, we've got one juvenile hurdle and one novice hurdle. The novice hurdle just 4 run as it stands. That the markets are reforming as we speak. Anything, you know, Andy, we spoke before, normally we would touch on these races, but you kind of alluded to the fact that these might not be the most thrilling of affairs. So happy to move on unless there's anything you just want to touch on.
I'm surprised actually that there's been so many runners in the juvenile and so few in the novice. I thought it would have been the other way around. There was more entered in the 12-40. I think it was about 15-20 odd, and we've only got the 4, which is a shame. I'm sure Grand Mogul will be odds on there, so that's no point talking about that. But Nicky Henderson's got a lovely horse potentially in the first race, Paros. He always has a few decent juveniles in his midst, doesn't he? And this horse makes his hurdling UK debut anyway for New Connections, having won in France, Dieppe, wasn't it, when he was last seen back in May. I played the video back on that this morning, and he looked a real nice type. He made most of the running. He looks a horse that will grind out a result from the front, which is what you need here at Sandown. And I think, if I'm rightly, Goshen won this race last year before going on to be the best juvenile around last season. So it's very much a track where you have the proper 3-year-old stayers usually line up here. Connections only tend to run their horses that they know will get the trip. So Paros, yeah, he's probably the most interesting one. I'd imagine he'd be favourite.
Paros, one to keep an eye on in the first there, the 12.05.
I'll go for the each way angle.
Lovely.
The Worthy Brat. Jeremy Scott trains. I believe Harry, I don't think there's a jockey down here, but I think Harry Cobden. No. And it was behind Mon Miral of Paul Nichols' at Exeter in the juvenile. And that horse has been talked about pretty highly. And with Nicky Henderson's horse having the penalty, it might be just worth an each way angle with that one. Stayed on very well at Exeter, having won a bump around Exeter. So I often think that the third run is sometimes better than the second run with a horse who hasn't run before, from an experience point of view. Won the 20th of October, ran well at Exeter again. A horse who stays well, not a bad place to come, Sandown. So obviously a horse that, you know, you wouldn't really associate Jeremy Scott with juvenile hurdlers. But this one, it's owned by Wayne Clifford, and it'll be interesting to see how this goes. So from an each-way price, the Worthy Brat.
So the Worthy Brat. We don't have prices yet, I should say, but I think for the reasons that Andrew alluded to, probably will be an each-way price, especially if Paros is very short and you are getting, well, at the moment, there are 8 running. So you would get 3 places, but do keep an eye on that because that could change, obviously, depending on ground and other such things. On now to the Henry VIII Novice Chase, and we have got 6 run here. And All Mankind is the 9-4 favourite, ahead of Hitman at 3-1, and Garlaw 9-2. Eldorado Allen at 5-1, who was tipped up by Ed Quigley on this podcast for his win last time out. Tamarok Du Matan is 8-1, and Phoenix Way 11-1. Sticking with you here, Andrew. All Mankind 9-4 favourite. One you're looking to get on side or take on?
It's interesting. I was just having a look through his form, and most of his form is all going left-handed. Chepstow, Cheltenham, Warwick, and then when you go back to his form on the flat, which I thought was really interesting, I was thinking, can I find an angle to get him beaten? You know, Goodwood. He went to Goodwood and got beaten round Goodwood and the Maiden. Yeah, it was behind Line of Duty, who's rated 115 for Charlie Appleby. Pablo Escobar rated 108. Tyrone Priestley, rated 115. Ladonna V. When you had a, I was having a look through the maiden, I'm thinking, what a maiden that
was. Yeah, yeah. Incredible.
You've got the least of Kiefer, who's rated in the mid-80s, high-80s for Johnson Hunt. Calculation for Sir Michael Stout. I think it was one of the hottest maidens run at Goodwood. So there probably isn't an angle in that respect, but he definitely loves going left-handed. And that was my only angle against him. He's very, very quick. He'd be one thing's for certain, he'd be ridden positively. But he's not a runaway like you may say he used to be. So that the track will suit, everything will suit him. But this would be his biggest test by a long way, because I know the Paul Nicholls yard are very, very keen on Hitman. I was down at Foss Lass when this horse won. And he did make a bad mistake, I think it was at the second last. But barring that, his jumping was impeccable. It was very clean. And I'm probably going to side with Hitman on that perspective. He's also got Tamarind and Matan in here, which I'm surprised he's running off a mark of 141.
Yeah. And
you've got the four-year-olds who are marked, you know, what, the high 140 stroke 150 with All Mankind and Hitman. So he's badly in at the weights on that front. He won very easily at Wincanton, but it was against handicappers and he did look very well handicapped. It won't be so easy for him, given the £6 away to, and the likes of El Dorado or Allen, to give £6 away to the four-year-old. I think it's a fascinating contest because rarely do we see, you know, 3-4-year-olds taking on the older horses.
Yeah.
Three very good ones. I thought that Galore dropping back in trip was an interesting angle, but maybe not the best. He's a very good jumper, but it's a big ask dropping back from 2.5. He's won all three of his races over 2.5 miles and been very impressive in doing that. But this is a completely different ball game for him. And El Dorado Allen, was he a lucky winner at Cheltenham last time out? Andy can answer that one. I think he maybe, would he have got the better of Gumball? He looked to be getting a bit tapped for toe on that front. And I think he'll get a bit tapped for toe around here. So I'm with Hitman. He's unexposed. He's a very good traveller. He almost over-raced at Foss Lass, but I think with the good solid gallop on here, you'd have to see Galore and All Mankind going through the race. Phoenix Way struggled to win at Warwick, but he's a highly progressive as well. But I thought Hitman, he would be the one I'd be wanting to throw my leg across.
Hitman 3-1 pretty much across the board at this early stage of those prices. They just came out about half an hour or so ago. Andy, is it Hitman for you too?
He's certainly on the shortlist, yeah, without the shadow of a doubt. I think this race is fascinating, isn't it, tactically? Because you've got All Mankind, as Andrew has already pointed out, has settled down a little bit in his as time has gone on. But he still likes to lead. You know, he likes to dominate. That's just his run style. I don't think he can do any hitting himself any f***s by trying to drop him in. And that's the run style that has been very much to the fore with Galore as well, making all the running. So I think the two of these are going to have a little bit of a battle to get to the corner in front after they jump the first three. So it's going to be run at a true gallop. Which one of those two gives, as it were, and perhaps takes a lead, I don't know. But it just kind of puts me off All Mankind, the fact that he's going to have something right up his backside all the way through this race. And, going right-handed with the fences coming up quite quickly, it might just, you know, might not be his ideal cup of tea. So I'm looking for something to come off of it. Clocked a big number when he won at Foss Lass. Apart from that, total aberration, two out. I think he just took his half the ball because he's that far clear.
I think it was a Harry Cobden had said to himself, he had the race in the bag, and if he'd had something up his backside, he'd have just rolled away. And yeah. I don't think he'd have seen that mistake in this kind of race. He isn't going to have the race in the bag, is he, two out?
Well, that was it. You see, he was making his mind up for him, like down the back and asking him. But then he's gone to two out, and because he's 30 lengths clear when Highway 102 fell at the fence before, he's had a look beyond him. Well, I've got the race in safekeeping, so I'll just go down and pop him. Of course, the horse just, you know, didn't really know whether to stick or twist. But hopefully that was a blessing in disguise. He would have learned from that error and he won't do it again. So he was really good at the last. But he's going to come off a strong pace, hit man. He's definitely going to be suited to the way the race is going to be run. And so is El Dorado Allen, who it was a toss of the coin whether he would have won at Cheltenham the other day. I personally think he might have done because Gumball ostensibly doesn't really want a hill to run up. I think he's a better horse on a flat track. So when he went two out, that was the point of the race where maybe he might have struggled. But either way, that time figure, clocked by Eldorado Allen in isolation on his own when he was left clear, was still exceptionally good. Much better, funny enough, than the Cool Cody Paddy Power chase. The final circuit time was incredibly quick. So he's got a lot of things going for him here, Eldorado Allen.
The one thing that would slightly worry about me, he loves juice underfoot. Obviously, this hurdle course is always an awful lot softer than the chase course. That is the one thing that I just have a wonder whether, a little bit similar to Fiddler on the Roof at Sandown last week, will the ground over fences be slow enough for him?
Well, it's good to soft at the moment, but there is rain forecast. A lot depends on how much rain they do have. If it becomes a real test, i.e. if it goes soft or even worse than that, it'll definitely suit, given the way this race is likely to break up in the back end of the contest, suit something like Eldorado Allen, who obviously sits off of it and is able to come through like he did when he won at Cheltenham. He's got good form at Sandown as well, Eldorado Allen. He's run there and there three times, winner of one. So it's not as if he can't go right-handed or likes the track. So if it gave me a bet anyway, at the prices, and I had to kind of like say, well, I think it'll be soft Saturday, then I'd probably go with him. But I'd probably just sit down and just see how the racing pans out tomorrow, look at the weather forecast, look at the rain for Saturday before making a final decision on what I'm going to back.
Interesting stuff, but positive words for Hitman and Eldorado Allen across the two experts there. On now to the big one, the big race of the day. It is, of course, the Tingle Creek, the Betfair Tingle Creek, I should say. And Altior is a shade of odds on. 5-6 favourite here, Altior, with Politolog 9-2. Greenatine is 5-1, Rouge Vif 8-1, 25-1, Bruin Upper Storm, and 33-1, Castle Grace Paddy. You know, is it a betting heat, this, Andy? I mean, I know you can make most races into a betting heat, I'm sure, but it's going to be a hell of a spectacle either way. What are your thoughts on Altior at 5-6?
Well, it's, you know, we get this every year, don't we, with horses like this, Altior, that they're a proper, you know, they divide the camp, don't they? You either a backer or a layer. There's going to be layers out there that will think, I wouldn't mind taking this horse on at 4-5, you know, with his age now, and he's slightly less prolific profile as he had, you know, many years ago, and he just looked unbeatable. But you know, he did get beat in that bruising encounter by Surname. Obviously, back in form in the game Spirit, I'll take that on board. And he had that problem with his splint, didn't he, and missed Cheltenham.
Yeah,
but there is still, you know, doubts now when he's riding 11. Is he ever going to be to the heady heights? He might not need to be absolutely at his best to win this, but you can guarantee that Nichols will be absolutely revved up here. He'll love another crack at him. He's already got him beat with Surname. And I think he's deliberately kept Politologue fresh and ready for this. Yes, he was a shot winner in the Champion Chase, but you know, he's been a good horse for so many years now, Politologue. And I think Paul has probably worked out that he does need to go well fresh. He was good last year, first time out, when he just got beat by Defi De Soy. They ran him very quickly in this race last year, I think about 2 or 3 weeks after, and he just bombed. But he does like it here at Sandown. He's won the Henry VIII before. But the key is, all his best runs are when he's fit and healthy first time out. And I think, you know, he'll go off in front. He'll make this a really good test. And he'll put the others under pressure. And if they make mistakes and they're not quite on the money here, I think Politologue is going to certainly serve it up to him. At 5-1, I think he's an insulting price given the racer. You know, he's got his track and his ground conditions in his favour. So, look, I'm not going to come on here and tip Altior at 4-5. It's just not my style. It never has been.
I'd rather
lay him and have the other four running for me than back him at 4-5 and just take it on the chin. But if I was going to have a bet at the prices individually, Politologue, without shadow of a doubt, is the one I'd be looking at.
Politologue 9-2 now, Andy. 9-2 Politologue at the moment. That's with William Hill and Bet Victor 7-2 elsewhere. So might have to act quick to get that. Andrew, what are your thoughts? Would you be laying out your like Andy, or can you make a case why 5-6, 4-5 could be a bit of value?
100% not. absolutely no chance. He's won 15 out of 16. 15 out of 16, and he's on. I think he's another Remittance Man, Moscow Flyer, Azertu. Those names that just keep rolling off. I always think that 10-year-old for a 2-miler, he hasn't got that many miles on the clock. You know, the fact is he only had 24 races in his career. He's won 21 out of 24. I don't think he's any back number. What he did at Newbury, wow. And that race course gallop, he's getting a bit lazy in these old days. The fact that he got, you know, he looked mediocre in his race course gallop, but it was against Epitont at Newbury.
Yeah.
I can understand why he looked he looked, you know, as if he was a little bit lazy. I think I'd look a bit lazy if I was up against Usain Bolt. That is the equivalent of what we're talking. And I think Politolog, yes, a great ride in the champion chase. He went out in front, but the top and bottom, he did beat Dynamite Dollars and Bundoran. And they are what I would call grade one horses. Whereas for me, Altior, there's nothing not to like about what he's done in his career. Yes, his career is in the past, but I still think that he only had the 2 races last year. He had that bruising encounter with Surname. And when you look what Surname, albeit over 3 miles at Weatherby, what he did to that opposition and beat Eyewright in no uncertain fashion, I look back and think, crikey, Surname and Altior, what a clash that was. And I think we were probably underestimating what Altior was up to and up against and what Surname has gone on to do this year. Albeit at 3 miles, but Altior, you know, he's probably going to come off the bridle after you jump the pond fence. But one thing he'll be doing, the race with him. And I think you'll find that Nick Hall bounds out with them because he knows he won't be quick enough in the first half of the race and he'll just be able to sit in the pocket. I think he might even touch even money. I feel that the bookmakers will want to get Altior, a little bit like they did Epitont last week. They went out to even money. You might get a bit of even money here, which could be, you know, could be Christmas. Come on. That would be my take on it. I love the horse. And I love that he doesn't do more than he has to do, because that's why I think you see the Moscow Flyers weren't finishing. So that's why they had the longevity, and that's what I feel about it. Of the others, obviously Grenadine was given a very canny ride by Nico down at Exeter. I'm sure he'll have improved a little bit for that performance as well. Rouge Vif, you couldn't help but be excited by the performance at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
He blew a field of handicappers apart, but the way he did it off top weight was very, very good. And you know, he's only 6. He's the one I would fear. Rouge Vif, he's the one I would fear. If you're looking for something, if you want to back something outside of Altior, Rouge Vif just been the young pretender coming through.
Rouge Vif 8-1 with Betfair Sportsbook, BetVictor, and Paddy Power there, but some glowing for Altior from Andrew. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree with anything at all you've just said. Maybe a squeak of even money on the day, and Politolog for Andy at 9-2 there. So it's going to be fascinating, whatever happens. I said maybe it's not a betting heat. I might have to retract that comment now, because we've got 3 horses that could be providing us some value on Saturday afternoon. We're going to talk about the many clouds over at Aintree in just a second. But before we do that, are there any other horses you'd like to flag up running at Sandown on Saturday that could be of interest?
Andrew, have you got anything? Or?
I was going to go. I thought the Solo looked half. He went to Wincanton first time out. And I thought that he'd certainly be a lot fitter for the race. He's got top weight, but he's a tall, big individual who has had a big reputation. But, you know, he was behind Sco Royale. I just thought, back in a handicap, I know he's, and Andy will probably point to the fact, yeah, he's a 4-year-old and 4-year-olds around Sandown. But I thought he was one that was quite a horse who might just take a step forward, drop back down in grade.
Solo 13-2 with William Hill. That is in the last on Saturday, the listed handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Andy, anything for you on Saturday?
Yeah, I was very impressed with that Henderson also won the other day there at Sandown in the race Andrew fancy solo. I won't go mad on it because obviously Andrew's already flagged up one in that race. But that Mr. Coffey, I mean, he still looks fairly well handicapped to me. I mean, he looked as though he won with a ton in hand the other day. Nico dropped him out the back. He gave him a beautifully confident ride. And when he just asked him, there's that side-on shot, isn't it, at Sandown nowadays with that camera? I mean, he just literally went by the whole field within a couple of strides. Because he's such a lovely big chasing type, isn't he? He covered the ground really easily. So, he's the only course and distance winner in the field. So he clearly loves Sandown, and the ground's obviously in his favour. So, yeah, I'd say it'd be a good one to beat Mr. Coffey.
It'll be interesting to see how, because obviously he's got trying to keep that right upstairs. Yeah. He's very, very free. And the crowds back at Sandown, will they play their part?
Indeed. It's a great question to be able to ask again.
What are they talking about with regards to crowds and i.e. numbers? What have they said through the gates? Is it?
It's either 1,000 or 2,000.
2,000.
I think legally in tier two, it's 2,000. But some of the courses just in the early days are getting 1,000 through as pilot events. So I'm not entirely sure. I have a feeling Sandown on Saturday is 2,000. And, we hope everybody who does go and get there has a cracking day at the races. I can't wait to be back at a race course myself. On now, yes. Then, to Aintree, just for the one race, for the 2:40 on Saturday. So straight after the Tingle Creek. Wow, what a path an hour racing this is going to be. the many crowds. We've got Santini. Heartbreak. Absolute heartbreak for us Santini backers last time we saw him at Cheltenham. I can see Andy almost welling up as we talk about it. I mean, I had to leave. I was at Cheltenham for all 4 days. But I had to get back to London, so I had to leave before the Gold Cup. And I watched it standing on the platform at Cheltenham Station on my phone. And I wasn't in a great mood afterwards. No. But anyway, Froden 5-2, Native River 11-4, 16-1 Lakeview Lad, Keeper Hill 66-1. Andy, you are a paid up member of the Santini fan club. I remember in our Cheltenham preview back in March, you just said, I think Santini will win this. It's as simple as that. How do you feel all these months later?
Yeah, I'm still smarting, like I'm sure Nicky Henderson and connections are. And that's going to be his number one aim. So, whether he's absolutely totally tuned up Saturday, he's obviously having to question. Nicky Henderson is just a past master, isn't he? As Andrew knows, with getting these chasers to the big day. Cheltenham's all the thing he cares about. He's going to go there absolutely A1. He'll probably use this. He'll probably go the Cotswold Chase again, maybe another race along the way. I don't know. But he'll tread the same similar path to what he trod last season. If there's a vulnerability about him, it's going to be first time out, you'd imagine. He's a big stuffy type, isn't he? He looked sluggish in that gallop the other day. But that's Santino. I imagine he doesn't do a stroke at home. Mm. When he goes onto the track, he usually lights up and runs to an unbelievably high level. I felt as though Nico, I think if he'd have ridden that race again, the Gold Cup last year, he would have pressed on a lot sooner than he did. He got engulfed by pace as they come down the hill, because he got to the front and he was dictating. And I think he thought, I'm in the right place. But he should have pressed on.
I don't think he could. I honestly don't think he could in the race. I think he was flat to the pan. I thought most of the way through the race, his jumping was keeping him in the race and just keeping him in, not getting blocked in, because ideally, I think he would have loved to have pressed on, but he ain't the quickest. He is not the quickest. And you can't turn the clock back.
No.
I can see the disappointment in your face. I can see you can feel it in your pocket.
I suppose we all, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? When you look back on a horse that you fancy and got beaten, you try and convince yourself that you made the right decision and the jockey did everything wrong. I think you might have a good point. You just didn't have the pace. Maybe on softer ground come Gold Cup day, because it did dry out last year, he would have won, but he was getting back to album photo. And that's what made me think if he would have made it probably more of a test and force the others into making it more of a test. Because don't forget, they finish in a bit of a heat. The fact that Monolly finished fourth suggests to me that Album Photo had it fairly comfortably with regards going back-to-back. coming back to Saturday's race...
Rather than kind of...
Rather than dwelling on that. Yeah. But they're going to go good pace here, so it's going to be a good test. Frodon, Native River, both like to bowl along. You know, they ran this track. They're going to want to make plenty of use of Native River. Frodon only knows one way to run, so Santini's going to get a good workout. That's all I'll say. It's just I'll probably have a bet in, although I'm hoping that Santini will, you know, make up into another gold cup horse.
There we go. So no bet race, but all eyes on Santini for Andy. Andrew, I'm sure you can make a case for one of them.
Frodon, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, he ran last year in the Monnaie's Garden, which is the over 2.5 miles, and he just couldn't. He's a 3 miler now. He's had the run under his belt as well, which obviously the other two haven't. Native River won the race last year, didn't he? But it was in the end, it worked out a no contest. It was a hack round. So I think Frodon just has too much boot for both the others. I don't think Native sharp enough coming back first time. And as I say, the way that Frodon went round Cheltenham last time, and you think to yourself, what was it, a good race? How good was the race? Well, Cloth Cap was back in third.
Yeah. You
know, with 10 stone on his back. Frodon had 11-12. And you might think, yeah, well, it was a pipe opener for Cloth Cap. But I don't think Frodon had a hard time of things. He was always just doing enough. When you knew that West Approach was always going to say, after you, sir. No problem. Yeah, yeah. I won't give you too much of a hard time. Mm. And he's had a real good break since that run as well. So I think 5-2 is a big price. I can see him going off a lot shorter than that, been hard and fit. And he handles the place. He's won around there before.
Yeah, the last time he went there as well, don't forget, Andrew, he was out, didn't they, in the Low Sun with the race that Forest Bean beat him in, I think it was the Old Roan, wasn't it?
It's in the forecast as well. Doesn't look great for Saturday, so he'll be fine. They'll all be in.
Yeah.
There we go. Throw it on at 5-2 for Andrew. That brings a close to this Tingle Creek Sandown preview with a little added entry in there for the many clouds. Thank you very much, as ever, to both Andrew and Andy for their expert views. And of course, you can get Andy's tips straight to your phone by downloading the Odds Checker app now. You can also get all the very best prices, the best bookie offers, the best free bets and place terms and everything else on there too. So it is essential downloading for anybody listening to this or watching this video. But most importantly, as ever, please do enjoy the racing. Fingers crossed we've given you some winners, and please make sure you do gamble responsibly.